Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Madam Speaker, as the member designated for the representative from Florida, Brian Mast, I ask that given the updated CDC guidance, we all take off these stupid masks.
I'm out there, Jerry, and I'm loving every minute of it.
It's about damn time.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
In just over 100 days, we have an economic crisis, we have a border crisis, and we have a national security crisis.
That's a dilly of a pickle.
You did say that we're not telling you not to come, though, right? You said that. You remember that?
I'm sorry, Senator. I apologize.
You remember saying, don't you, that we're not telling you not to come? Those are your words that you said in a press conference. You said that, right?
I don't recall saying that.
See, I suffer from short-term memory loss.
We are not saying don't come. We are saying don't come now.
Short-term memory loss. I don't believe this.
Trump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. You know, in some states, until 14, 15 months ago, it was illegal to wear masks in certain circumstances. I remember 2 years ago, after some Antifa riots in Boston, they were going to make it a crime to wear masks during a public demonstration. I don't think it prevailed in the city council, but they tried to do it. And and as a cop pointed out earlier today, I think under state law in Massachusetts, it's an enhanced crime or felony if you rob a bank while wearing a mask. So I just, you know, the Karens have been running amok here. So I, you know what? Turnabout is fair play, as they say. How about as these mask mandates crumble, we start arresting, or at least threatening to arrest, people for wearing masks? They are crimes. They are crimes. In some areas, not everywhere. All right, 844-500-4242. We got a lot of cop news to get to here today in this final hour of the week. And I'm going to start with the city of Boston, where you may know that William Gross was the police commissioner, and he quit in the winter. He had a health emergency, I guess. People didn't know it at the time, but he decided to resign, and he said, I think you should appoint, he said to the then mayor, Marty Walsh, you should appoint my buddy and my second in command, Dennis White, as the new commissioner. So Marty did that on his way out the door, and now he's left a big problem for his successor, the president of the city council, Kim Janey, who's now the acting mayor. And because Dennis White had all these, had domestic abuse charges against him. So today, Kim Janey, after this guy's been suspended for months now, Dennis White, he's black. And Janey, who's the first black mayor of the city of Boston, acting mayor, she wants to fire the black police commissioner. I think it is time to move the department forward, she said at a press conference this afternoon. This cloud cannot continue if we want to move the department forward. And as you know, the former head of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association has been charged with pedophilia, child abuse, multiple cases. And apparently it was known to the department and they didn't move forward. And now there's another case here with the guy who was the acting police commissioner for a while. They issued a 19-page investigative report compiled by an outside attorney and painted a damning portrait of an institution that allegedly protected its own, ignored complaints of abuse, and minimized and allegedly covered up allegations against White, the commissioner. The department also retaliated against domestic violence investigators who tried to fully investigate one of their own. So you know something about it. He was charged with domestic abuse of his then wife, the police commissioner. But the report today revealed that White had also been the subject of a previously undisclosed restraining order in 1993 for what the future commissioner described as heated fisticuffs with a 19-year-old woman. White told internal affairs investigators at the time he hit the woman with a full swing of his arm and an open hand, that's in quotes, in self-defense after she kicked him. The city's investigator also described four witnesses who alleged that the commissioner's abuse of his first wife was much worse than had been previously known. It included allegations of him holding her face to a stove, burning her hair, and kicking and choking her. The report also documented a culture of secrecy within the department. The city's investigator tried to contact 21 witnesses involving White, again, who's now the commissioner, but only seven agreed to speak with her. One retired Boston police officer told the investigator he had received at least five phone calls directing him not to talk with them, not to talk with me. So when White was told this morning that he was going to be fired, the commissioner, at 10 a.m., he instructed his lawyer, a former city attorney named Nicholas B. Carter, to go into Suffolk Superior Court to try to block his firing. And White and his lawyer requested a restraining order and a preliminary injunction. And his lawyer said, "Acting Mayor Janey does not have the power to remove him. Any removal would require a hearing and cause, and there is no cause to remove him." The weirder story here is with the 19-year-old girl. He was in his 30s, White, in 1993. And he had a 19-year-old woman who was living with him. I think he was married at the time, but she was living in the house. On the night of September 10th, 1993, White and a 19-year-old woman who had belongings in White's house along with a key had a dispute over her moving out and $10 White said he was owed. The woman, whose identity was not released, said White was trying, White is now the suspended police commissioner of the city of Boston, was trying to eject her from the premises and threw her down the stairs inside the house. She said he then pushed her out onto the porch and punched her, then pulled her sweatshirt over her head before hitting her once more and calling her a whore. She then proceeded to kick his knee, which he had recently had surgery on. Both filed complaints against one another for assault and battery. Just reading from the investigation here. It also surfaced an allegation that White, who was then 32, had previously made a sexual advance against a woman and been rejected, and that her rejection prompted White to eject her from the family home. White denied that claim, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a one story today that's going on with the police. Now we move to the Korea part of the show. Ex-mayor of Fall River, Jaisal Correa, guilty of 21 of 24 counts of fraud, extortion, and conspiracy. If I'd have been the U.S. attorneys, the assistant U.S. attorneys, I would have been very worried about this case because they got this case on Tuesday, the jury. And this seemed like a slam dunk case to me. I would have been able to sleep. You know, they talk about if they had lost this case, they would have been very embarrassed. It took them 19 hours to decide this case. And they just had this guy dead to rights. And when they read off the guilty verdicts, 21 out of 24 counts, there was Jaisal Correa. He's 29. His fiance, his mother, his father, and his sister, they shared an embrace after the verdict. So this was the first case they've had in federal court where they allowed people to watch it on Zoom. You weren't supposed to record it, but you were allowed to watch it on Zoom. 450 people were watching the verdict read. That's a lot, really. So Correa was then told to report to the probation office around 12:30 to be fitted with the ankle bracelet. We have some sound from the former mayor of Fall River. Here it is.
I just want to say, before we get into the intersection so nobody gets hurt, I just love my family, my friends that are out there. The people of Fall River know the job that I did for the city was a good job.
Your lawyer says you were stunned by the verdict?
Excuse me. And unfortunately, the justice system failed us today, but our fight's not over. I have a very strong family, very strong friends, and a very strong person. So I just thank everybody out there that's been praying for us. I thank God. I thank God for the comfort that he's given us every single day during this trial. And we're not done. This is just... This is not a great day, but I've had other not great days, and everybody here knows that, that's watched this unfold. But we're going to have a great day of vindication, and eventually the real truth will come out. There were no facts that were brought forward. There was no overwhelming evidence. Unfortunately, there was a couple things that didn't go our way that were technical today, and that's what will be our grounds for appeal. And we'll win that appeal, and I will be vindicated, and my future will be very long and great. So
why didn't you
I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Why didn't you testify? That's a good, that's a decent question, but it's obvious answer, right? If he had testified, the trial would have gone on to Labor Day, because he would have just been asking him these questions about all the stuff that he had done in Fall River. Talk about a guy who was in total denial. Denial is not just a river in Egypt, as they say. Why the hell did he ever go to trial? And Kevin Reddington, I don't think, is cheap. Where did he get the money for that? Have we heard, did the mayor's mother make a statement at the outside the courthouse there on Northern Avenue?
He's a good boy, a very good boy.
Yeah, all right. 508 wants to know, was White the guy with the fedora? No, that's the previous police commissioner, Gross. He, again, he had some kind of medical emergency. He decided to quit very quickly. And the mayor, Marty Walsh, was just being appointed to labor secretary, so they decided to rush through the replacement, and it's really turned into a giant mess for the new mayor, Kim Janney. 844-500-4242. When we come back, I'll tell you about the state police officer, former state police officer named Correa. This is really new stuff. We've been fighting to get this report for the last 3 months, and we finally got it today. We'll have big stories in the Herald and tomorrow very shortly, but I'll read you some of the stuff. It's a 23-page report about this, what this guy did, and it's you'll be interested, I think. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He only steals from the very best.
The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Howie Carr returns after this.
We're not just going to let you walk out of here.
Who is we, sucker?
Smith and Wesson and me?
The Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Allergy season is here and you need the Thunderstorm air purifier. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word Howie to save $10 off their lowest sales price. That's EdenPure.com, code word Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Whose mask guidance are you going to follow, the CDC's or the law offices of Baker, Murphy, and Cuomo?
I'm following the CDC.
2% say they'll take the Baker, Murphy, Cuomo suggestion.
2%. All right. 844-500-4242. 603 says, my biggest fear is walking into a place where in a mask and no one else is wearing one and everyone laughs at me. There's a very good way to avoid, a very easy way to avoid that. Don't wear a mask into a place. All right. 844-500-4242. So there's this guy, his name is Dwayne Correa. No relation, as far as I know, to Jaisal Correa. He's from, he used to be a police officer in Raynham, and then he was a police officer he worked at the Rhode Island State Police, and then he got a job with the Mass State Police. And he was in the violent fugitive apprehension section. And so he had an interesting day last August 11th, as we now know from this report that we've been trying to get for a long time. And we finally got it. August 11th, he starts out and he goes to the general headquarters in Framingham, and he signs a waiver. He reported to GHQ, General Headquarters, to sign his, quote, disposition without hearing / waiver of right to trial board waiver for a previous investigation that occurred at SP Middleborough on February 25th, 2020. So in other words, something had happened before, but he signed a waiver on August 11th. So after signing the waiver, he tells his wife that he's working, his wife who's a police officer herself, he says he's working, and he leaves, and he turns off the GPS on his car, whatever they call it. He's got an unmarked police cruiser because he's on this special unit, and he turns off the GPS so that the brass won't know where he's going. And he drives in his uniform, and he goes to a Raymore and Flanagan's furniture store. They got several of them around Attleboro and then into Rhode Island. He goes into the restroom at this furniture store and changes out of his uniform, and then goes down and joins a woman, and maybe two women, we don't know. He joins a woman and someone else whose sex we're not sure of at the Capitol Grill in Providence, and runs up a bill of $753, including a $200 tip. Now, remember, the state police were in court yesterday saying they're not paid enough money and that they're being shortchanged, that they can't afford to support their families. And this guy's running up a $753 tip with a woman.
Sounds like a few steaks, maybe some desserts, plenty of drinks.
Plenty drinks. Martinis? They started with martinis, and then they switched over to wine. I'm guessing some very good wine, very good wine. And so then after they finish, they decide to go over to, they check in to the Renaissance Hotel in Providence, the state trooper, Dwayne Correa, and this woman who claims she's known him since she was 14 years old. And so when the investigation begins, she tells the state police that he stayed over in her hotel room because he had too much to drink. Later on, a month or so later, she changes her story and tells the state police that he went up to the room because they were going to hang out. They were going to hang out. You know what that means. Well, I don't know what that means. You figure out for yourself what that means. So they get surveillance footage later on from the parking lot where he leaves the car. And it's his unmarked state police cruiser. He takes a backpack out of the car after going to the Capitol Grill and having multiple drinks and then going upstairs with his friend to hang out. And but he leaves his gun and his badge in the car, and he doesn't bother to lock the car. And he doesn't bother to turn on the anti-theft device, which would light it up. So he's in hanging out with his girlfriend in the hotel room in Providence, Rhode Island, and they get surveillance footage at 4:58 a.m. These guys come in and they're just like going through the lot, checking to see which is unlocked. And guess what? The unmarked state police cruiser is unlocked, so they remove the gun. They remove the gun. And so he comes out at 6 o'clock because he's got to get home because he tells his wife he's been working all night, right? So he comes out at 6:05 and throws his backpack into the car and notices his gun is gone. That was the start of his problems. Dwayne Correa, former state trooper. His badge number, 3562. We'll talk more. We'll take some calls when we come back. I'm Howie Carr. A lot of us are going to be on the move again this summer. So my advice to you, take your Raycons with you. Whether you're working out to a pumped up playlist or listening to a podcast on your commute, a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears can make all the difference. With Raycon, you get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Their wireless earbuds look great and feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors with customizable gel tips for a comfortable in-ear fit. Raycons are built to go wherever you go, with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. And with a 24-hour battery life, they're a must-have for your daily grind, all day, every day. Get 15% off Raycon at buyraycon.com/Howie. Raycon has a 45-day happiness guarantee, so give them a try. You'll be surprised you ever went anywhere without them. That's buyraycon.com/Howie for 15% off your order. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We'll take some calls on this or any other issues, actually, if you want. I thought you'd be interested in this story about this state cop getting fired and losing his gun while he was spending the night with someone he wasn't married to down in Rhode Island after running up a $700 tab at the Capitol Grill and telling his wife he was out working a shift. It's like a country music song, you know? Living here, loving there, lying in between. And changing his clothes at the furniture store, the Raynor's and the Flanagan's furniture store. I wonder which one he changed it in. That's left out of the police report. So he loses, his firearm is stolen because he forgets to lock the car. I mean, it's really got to suck when that happens to you. You lose it out of state after you've turned off the GPS so they can't find out where you were. And you've been running up the credit card bill too on your days off. So he never goes back to work after this. I think he was looking for the gun. They don't say that in the report, but that's what I've heard. He was down in Providence looking for the gun. Like, you know, if only you'd locked the door. If only you had locked the door on your unmarked police cruiser. Or perhaps you could have taken the gun inside the hotel.
I mean, at this point, he's now depriving state police in Rhode Island of overtime looking for that gun.
Right. And they had the Providence police were looking for it, too. Limerick guy says this state trooper would still be a looter if he didn't lose his six shooter.
Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, man. 617, I've seen two cops in Boston recently who drive Maseratis. One is a state and one is a Boston cop. I was like, wow, cops drive Maseratis around here? I can remember when, and again, I'm dating myself here. This was back in the 70s when state police wives used to picket Dukakis because they said they were on food stamps because they were making so little money. And now this? I mean, this is crazy. 201, sounds like Ted Kennedy was a Massachusetts state cop. So he loses the gun, and so he starts looking around for the gun and all this stuff. But even after he loses the gun and he has to go back and, you know, I don't know what he tells his wife. I don't think he told her anything. Again, she's a cop herself, and I think she was pregnant at the time. So guess what he does 4 days later, Taylor? Would you care to guess what he does?
What?
He meets the girlfriend at the Liberty Hotel in Boston.
Nice change of venue. Spice up the relationship.
Mm-hmm. She said he mentioned being overwhelmed with his marriage, house move, and child, whom he was having shortly with his wife. He told her he lost his gun and may have lost it in Providence. He was concerned about reporting it because his job would find out that he had his cruiser in Providence. She advised that he also stated to her that he didn't see a way out of this. He was freaking out because he wasn't able to find his firearm. And he also told her that the truck was broken into. The truck wasn't broken into. He left it unlocked. Oh, my God. So when they finally found out about it, they went to his house on a wellness check. Lieutenant Colonel Richard M. Ball received information that there was a concern for the well-being of Trooper Correa and that his firearm might be missing. He's the Division of Field Services. Now, oddly enough, Lieutenant Colonel Ball retired less than 3 months later after getting this information that Correa had lost his gun. And so they go in and they interview Correa, and he decides to go into the hospital. He leaves to go to the hospital. And when he goes to the hospital, he is accompanied by a union representative and his lawyer. Or he calls his lawyer. The last time I was at the hospital for an emergency procedure, I called my lawyer. That was the first person I called, right? When asked about his duty weapon, this is the brass, Trooper Correa stated, this is at the hospital, I've been advised by my attorney not to answer that question. By the way, he said he just was friends with the woman that he was hanging out with at the hotel in Providence and then at the hotel in Boston. 844, Dwayne Correa is his name.
6 a.m. he left?
6:05, yes.
Yeah, just friends, sure.
Yeah, 6:05. If only he had been there at 4:58, he could have confronted the thugs that were stealing his gun. Of course, he would have been unarmed, and they would have had his revolver, his semi-automatic. And incidentally, when they finally found the gun, the Providence cops found the gun, or Massachusetts State Police found the gun, there were 7 bullets missing. I guess that's a minor thing at this point. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Howie, I don't want to change the subject, but I read an article in the paper today, I think was by you,
yes,
that John Curry has a staff of 45,
yes,
hacks. doing what? Please tell me what they're doing.
That's what I want to know, Bob. That's the question we asked. I believe it or not, though, and I'm stunned to learn this, we filed a FOIA request yesterday to find out who these 45 people are. And guess what happened today, Bob? We got a response from the State Department, and they said, we're going to work on your request to find out who these 45 people are on John Kerry's payroll, but it may take a little longer than 10 days because they've all been moved in from other places, Bob. You know, so in other words, they're probably making even more money than you and I thought they were, because these are not like new hires off the street. These are people that are being transferred from their phony baloney do-nothing jobs on some bureau or desk to be on the new phony baloney do-nothing bureau set up by John Kerry.
I not only want to know their names, I want to know what kind of carbon footprints they're leaving. How are they getting to work? Are they commuting? Are they telecommuting?
Yeah.
What kind of transportation?
Well, I said today, we know 3 of the jobs. One of them has got to be the guy who handles his comb, because he had a guy on the 2004 presidential campaign who took care of his comb. It was a guy he hired out of a bicycle shop. Another guy's got to write the botched jokes, right, that he makes. Like, if you don't study hard, you'll end up in Iraq, and then he has to apologize. A third guy has to check out when he's on these commercial flights that are such a blow to his ego, and make sure that no one's taking a picture of him without his mask. And a guy called the Herald, or guy left a message on the Herald and say, I know what the fourth job is. So we got 45. So we got 3 of the jobs picked. He said, I know what the fourth job is. He said, he's the guy that goes around behind Kerry when Kerry says he forgot his wallet at a restaurant or at a wine bar. Because
yes,
he said he saw that happen twice, once on the Cape and once in Boston.
I've got a fifth guy.
Who's the fifth guy?
One to powder his chin.
That's true. He was the first guy I ever saw, first politician or anybody else I ever saw, a guy, male, walking around with makeup on during the 82 or the 84 campaign. I was doing a live shot with him. And I looked at him and I said, what the hell? Are you wearing makeup? I shouldn't be surprised. But I was at the time. And he said, yeah, so I have a bit of a cold today, and so that's why I'm wearing it.
That's the only choice for someone like me.
Yeah, I know. I used to go to that sometimes. I would wear, later as I did live shots sometimes at the studio, Channel 7, I would have to wear makeup. They'd insist on putting makeup on. Then I would go down to Foley's, and boy, would I take a lot of grief. I learned to wash my face thoroughly before I left the studio. Russ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Russ.
You know, Howie, it really disgusts me what's going on right now in the Middle East and Israel. When I think of scumbag members of Congress and the United States Senate giving aid and comfort to Iran and Hamas who want to kill Jews, what the hell do they expect going to happen if Iran ever gets a nuclear weapon?
I know. Russ, is there anybody in the Senate that's doing that? I mean, I know the squad is doing that, but I'm not sure anybody. Maybe I'm wrong, and I just haven't been following it closely enough. I don't think the Senate has been, any of them have been quite as vociferous and as obnoxious as, say, AOC or Ayanna Pressley.
You know how they twist it? Is they make it look like it's against the Palestinians and against the Jews. Instead, it's Hamas who's actually leading the Palestinians around. And let's face it, okay? The true Palestinians are the Israelites.
Right. No, I agree. And didn't the Biden administration just free up, I think, almost a quarter of $1 billion in aid to the Palestinians? Yeah, they did. So, so now they have extra money, or they know extra money's coming in, so they can spend more money with their sending these rockets over there. And again, they're sending them into these mixed communities, and they're killing a lot of Arabs, Muslims, but they don't care. They don't care. They're just full of hatred. 844-500-4242. Officer Mark says, I'm sure Officer Correa, Trooper Correa, was just doing community outreach work with the young lady. She's probably afflicted with chronic insomnia. Yeah, she is. It's, oh God. Someone just sent me a link to her, to their website between Dwayne and his wife. Could you print that out for me? So I'll have some more material to work with when I write my column. 844-500-4242. I think I saw one picture of it, but I haven't seen everything. So they wanted to interview one of Dwayne Correa's friends. On September 30th, 2020, this is the investigator, I spoke with Trooper and requested to set up a date and time to conduct a formal interview. He declined to be interviewed and stated he was no longer friends with Trooper Correa and had nothing to say. You see, he learned something. Remember the guy Patterson, the Foxborough flasher? He was the guy who was arrested after he, exposed himself and then told when he was drunk, pulled down his pants, and he told a guy at the who was at the country music concert in Foxborough that he had a nice rear end. See, he was with a guy named Thompson, and the guy with he'd also been when he went on a bat out to Vegas and he slugged some security guard, and Thompson was with him both times, and Thompson told one of the guys that he hit in Foxborough that he was in big trouble because they were state cops. And Thompson, he didn't get fired, but he got moved off of F Troop. You know, F Troop is Logan Airport. That's where they make the super big bucks for super no heavy lifting. And so this guy was obviously smart enough to know if he talks about what he knows, he's going out to Charlton or somewhere, maybe even further west than that. So he just dummied up. They're learning something here, these state cops. 844-500-4242. Glenn, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, Howie. So good to talk to you. I'm so glad you're on the air, and thank you. But listen, I work in a business in Maine, and I can't tell you the last few weeks how intense the pressure has been for me to get a vaccination, where they're giving us, like, monetary like rewards if we sign up. And then the other day,
how much Glenn?
I don't know, like $100. Hey, if you sign up, we'll give you $100, and then if we get 85% of our staff to sign up, we don't have to wear the mask. And then the big point is, though, I got my first shot, and it was against everything I wanted to do. I got my first shot, and then when I came back, I was getting these high fives from my superiors, like, hey, wait, great, fantastic, thanks, I'm really proud of you. And then they've even made up their own stickers for the business that say the business name and vaccinated with a check mark on it. You know, like, if you're not part of the club, you're stupid and you're ignorant. And it's horrible. My next shot's coming up, you know, the beginning of the next month, and it's terrible. You know, if you're not in the club of getting the shot and rolling with everybody else, then you're stupid.
Your papers, please.
And you're not part of the club. But
yet,
you know what I mean?
Yet if they asked you and said you have to go to church to be a part of this company, they would be guilty of all kinds of discrimination against you. You'd be able to file civil suits against them, right? I mean, what's the difference?
But don't you think that, I mean, but like putting their nose in, like, you getting a shot into your body, isn't that like all kinds of HIPAA rule violations?
I know. So people are telling me, well, HIPAA is that the medical companies can't give out the information. But isn't it the same principle that if the medical companies the hospitals or the clinics can't give out your information, why are you forced to give your employer or anybody else information about your medical records? I agree, Glenn. I don't understand it. And where is the American Civil Liberties Union here? They used to be concerned about things like this, but that's obviously a rhetorical
question. I
think
the best way is just to claim religious exemption. That way you're covered constitutionally as well.
I guess, but you know, some religious exemptions mean more than other religious exemptions.
All right, I'm Muslim then.
Okay, well, then you're covered.
Thank you.
All right, 84. We'll take some more calls when we come back. 844-500-4242. Taylor saw where I was going with that. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie will be right back after a quick trip to the Redemption Center.
Come on, G-Dope. I want to do my share of the work.
Howie Carr is back.
Texter has a very good question. What if at your company where you work, they asked you if you got an AIDS test? Ooh, I think they'd be in big trouble. But, you know, some questions are more politically correct or incorrect than other questions. Someone just sent us a link to Dwayne Correa's, what would you call this, a wedding website?
Yeah, it's a wedding website.
Wedding.
They're popular now.
Wedding website. They got married on Goat Island in Newport, Rhode Island. And there's a quote here from somebody named Nicholas Sparks. Marriage is about becoming a team.
He wrote The Notebook, by the way.
What is The Notebook?
You've never seen The Notebook?
No.
Wow. It's a classic love story. Ryan Gosling and...
I guess that's why I've never seen
it. Well, James Garner is in it.
Oh, okay. Nicholas Sparks, whoever he is. Marriage is about becoming a team. You're going to spend the rest of your life learning about each other, and every now and then things blow up. I think it's safe to say that for Dwayne Correa, things have blown up big time. Another part of the report is that the girlfriend says she wanted to call the wife, but she said she didn't want the wife to get emotional. Why would the wife get emotional? Kim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kim.
Oh, hey, Howie. Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a nurse up here in New Hampshire, and I also have two pugs, just a little side note. And I am not getting the vaccine. I went to a tractor supply store today and without a mask in my uniform to grab some cat food for my barn cat. And every burly man in the store had masks on. And they were looking at me like I had the plague. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? But actually, there was one guy who did take his mask off when he saw me walk in without the mask. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, really?
Do you think maybe were they working there and their boss told them like the earlier caller? No?
No, all the workers had masks on. They greeted me when I came in. I went and I got my whatever I needed, stood in line. But I mean it's like a farm store. I don't know
yeah.
if you're familiar with tractor supply.
No, it seems like a farm store would be one of the first places to do away with the masks. You know? I mean, you're right. What are they afraid of? I don't get it. Never have understood it. All right. We'll be writing more about Dwayne Correa in the Boston Herald tomorrow and Sunday. And we'll post the whole report probably on Monday for your edification and amusement. Have a good weekend. I'm Howie Carr.